What's going on, guys? Welcome to a new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Nasheed, and we are going to chop up some very good game on today's broadcast. Glad to have y'all tuning in. I need y'all to hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button when you walk up in here, because we're going to chop it up, ladies and gentlemen. While everybody's piling in the room, let us take a commercial break so everybody can come on in here. But when you come in here, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. We will be right back after this commercial break. So ladies and gentlemen, don't you move a muscle, because we will be right back.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin', by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed. Available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get The Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Listen, are you ashy as hell? Do you have dry, parched skin? Does your elbows look like elephant knees? If so, you want to get your skin from crusty to lovely, go to ashkicking.com to get all the lotions, lubricants, and body butters that you need to get your skin in order. They got all types of health and beauty products, everything you need. They got incense, things to make your house smell good, things to make you smell good. So again, go to ashkicking.com. Again, that's ashkicking.com.
Are you looking to start your own business? Millions of brothers have turned to eBay to escape the rat race. Become your own boss and get the Power Seller Research eBook. It's a comprehensive, step-by-step guide that explains how to start an eBay business. The website is powersellerresearch.com. Again, that's powersellerresearch.com.
Check out the brand new album release by MC artist Robbie Blue, and his album is called Chapter 6, Birth of a Nation. It's available right now on all streaming platforms. His first single, which is what you're listening to now, is called Exodus, featuring Roxy Reese. And again, you can get this streaming album on all streaming platforms right now, and you can also listen to it on YouTube right now. Robbie Blue, Chapter 6, Birth of a Nation. Do you need a professional and entertaining DJ and MC for your next event? Do you need the latest reggae apparel? Book DJ Black Gandhi for your next occasion. Former full-time Club Med DJ with over 10 years experience at a variety of events such as weddings, corporate events, restaurants, etc. He can bring you what you need as far as your music game. He also provides authentic reggae apparel and merchandise, waistbands, jewelries, hoodies, dresses, everything you need. He represents Rasta culture right. Check out Real DJ Black Gandhi on Facebook and Instagram, and also follow him at DJ Black Gandhi merch.myshopify.com. Our children are influenced by many things in this world, and music is one of them. If you're worried about your children listening to music that promotes sex, drugs, and violence, then introduce them to Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an award-winning program that combines hip-hop and cartoons to teach children math, science, and language arts, and much, much more. Gifted and Lit also has an amazing new home workout program called Gifted and Fit. This program combines social, emotional, learning, and physical fitness to help families get in shape together. Order right now and use the coupon code Tariq to save 10% off on your next order. Go to giftedandlit.com right now and join the movement.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself if you find that you need a little help. Gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at oldgoonjuice.com. If they thinking you you slipping and tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Old goon juice and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
You are now tuned in to the incredible, to the legendary Tariq Nasheed. On Tariq Radio.
Please wear your mask.
Oh, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. We're back. We're back. We're back. We're back. Glad to have y'all tuning in. Here to make it do what it do. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I need you guys to hit that thumbs up button. I need you guys to hit that like button, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of stuff we're going to get into. Shout out to everybody in Atlanta. We're going to be in Atlanta soon to do some filming for the new documentary film that we're working on. Also, my new book, Foundational Black American Race Beta. You will be able to do the pre-orders by next week. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a big seller book right here. Very good book. I've been working on this book for a minute. I have not put out a book in over a decade. My first book in over a decade. This is my first really non-relationship book. This is the interesting thing. You know, we get real deep into racial issues in this book. So I cannot wait for you guys to get the brand new book, Foundational Black American Race Beta. That is coming, and the pre-sales, you will be able to get the pre-sales on Amazon and Barnes & Noble next week. But we will also do an advance sale for the FBA family out there, and I will keep you posted with details on that, because we're going to have a very limited amount of advanced books where I'm going to sign the books and you're going to get advanced hard copies of the book in a very special holiday package, and I will keep you guys posted on that, ladies and gentlemen. But I'm very excited about the new film project, and I'm trying to think of some other ways where we can get the maximum results out of the new film, because one problem that we've been having with our documentaries is that we have to cut so much stuff out of them. As y'all know, we do these documentaries, and because of certain time constraints, because we have to have them set at a certain time limit for theater screenings and also to be on DVDs, usually we have to cut out hours and hours of the material to break it down to 2 hours or 2.5 hours, under 3 hours. And that's how I've been doing this thing for the last really decade. And I was wondering, we got to come up with some other ways, because a lot of the stuff that we cut out is very good. It pains me to cut out so much stuff from all of these films. And what I'm thinking about doing in order to get the uncut version. I'm thinking about taking it to another level. Family, I'm thinking about seriously considering creating a streaming platform, create our own streaming platform, you know, similar to Netflix and Disney and all that, where we turn these things into damn miniseries. This next documentary that we're doing, there's so much material, I don't want to cut none of it. The information is too valuable. So what I'm thinking about doing is we have enough material, we have enough documentaries already for a streaming platform. So I'm thinking now, do this next joint, create our own streaming platform, do it as a mini series, like a 7 or 10 part hour long series each, just get it popping, and then just continue to do projects like that so that we can just keep doing them, so that people can watch this stuff on a regular basis and get everything they need to get out of it. That's what we're just going to have to do. Because even with Buck Breaking, we had to cut a lot out of Buck Breaking. And then we got to wait a couple of years before we do it again. So I'm really thinking about us getting, I know there's a few other platforms that black folks have, but you know, we want to get our own platform as well. A lot of people are, you know, that's kind of the new wave. And I'm thinking about doing that. And plus, we get our own platform, then we can just do the movies on a regular basis. We can just crank these things out. We can do all these other film projects that I have written. We can just do them on a regular basis if we have our own streaming platform. And another thing, we don't have to wait about shadow bans from Amazon. Because sometimes when Buck Breaking came out, Amazon tried to be a little slick and do a little shadow ban because the movie came out and just shot past everything. So I think that would be a great idea where we can put out our film projects the way we want to put them out without an agenda that you can watch anytime. And we can have the capital to keep producing the films so we don't have to wait every couple of years. Because with this next project, two hours ain't gonna be enough. This next project that we're doing now, just giving you 2 hours, that's not enough. And also what I would also wanna do on our platform, I would like to show all the stuff that y'all didn't see from all the Hidden Colors. We get all the stuff that's on the editing room floor and show all of that. We have so much material that you guys have not seen. So that's something that we're working on. We're going to be working on. Yeah, when you do the streaming platforms, it will be available on Roku and all that stuff. But we're going to make that happen. And we'll make it reasonable, a little monthly fee, $5-6 a month. We don't have to make it crazy, but just something consistent so that we can give you guys consistent information. Because listen, excuse me, when you look at some of these other platforms, I mean family, these other streaming platforms, boy, the agenda is heavy for those who know what I'm talking about. The agenda is heavy with all of these other streaming platforms, man. You don't know. You sit your kid down to watch some of these streaming platforms and they got rainbow stuff all over the place. It's an agenda there. So we're going to get this thing popping. We're going to get this thing popping. Because there's a lot of projects that I want to do. And we don't have time to just wait. Because the propaganda against us is so strong, we have to have a consistent counter-propaganda medium to debrief us from the lies and also to have our own thing popping. So we're gonna get busy on that. So anyway, let's get into what we need to talk about. There's a lot of stuff going on out here. Y'all know what's going on down there. Speaking of Georgia, the Ahmaud Arbery case. All of these cases that involve these white supremacists. You know, they're doing a lot of funny style stuff with Kyle Rittenhouse. You know, you got that suspected white supremacist judge who's clearly on the take. He's clearly team white supremacy. They just had to take a juror off because the juror was making jokes about Jacob Blake getting shot. Jacob Blake, that was the person who the protest was about. One of the jurors made a joke to one of the deputies about Jacob Blake getting shot. So they had to strike him off. So that's what we're dealing with. The white supremacists are on the move right now out there in Georgia in the Ahmaud Arbery case. Let me show this link here. They have the lawyers. They done struck off all the black jurors. There's only one black juror. They had 11 strikes to make and they used all their 11 strikes to strike off the black jurors. In the Ahmaud Arbery case, it's a damn near all white jury, just one black person on that damn jury down there. And the judge is like, the judge believes that it's discrimination, but the judge is like, well, what can I do? They love acting like they're powerless. These people love to act like they're so powerless and they just can't do anything. So the judge, where is this at? Okay. Judge Timothy Walmsley noted that the apparent discrimination tactic used by the white defendant's team of lawyers in the jury selection process, he said that it was an apparent discrimination process. However, he still allowed the trial to move forward. This court has found that there appears to be intentional discrimination Wamsley said, but he contended that the defense team had provided legitimate, non-discriminatory, clear, reasonably specific, and related reasons for removing each black juror candidate, saying that this met the requirements in the law in Georgia. Now they're playing dumb. He's trying to play both sides now. He's trying to play both sides. In one hand, he's saying, yeah, there's discrimination. I believe there's discrimination, but they did do everything within the confines of the law. So now they're acting powerless. Well, it's the law. I can't do any. He did do everything that was reasonable under the eyes of the law. They only do that with white people. If a black lawyer came out here and start striking off all the white people, they'll be like, hell no. Go back in and get another juror. They'll be putting all types of sanctions on a black lawyer who struck out all the white jurors. They would put every sanction imaginable. He would be disbarred if he went in there trying to strike off all the white jurors. They're not powerless. They love to play this powerless game. Well, it's the law. I mean, everything was done under Georgia law, so we just got to go with the law. No. Don't let them get away with that. Y'all better watch that case very closely down there in Georgia, because they're doing everything they can to get these white supremacists off. You dig? But look, what I really want to get into, we're talking about Faking 2, the Boule Boogaloo. Now, as we know, we had some early elections this week, and the Democrats were getting their asses handed to them in many of these elections around the country, particularly in Virginia. Boy, in Virginia, that was a big loss for the Democrats in Virginia. They really needed Virginia. They had Barack Obama out there stumping for the Democratic candidates in Virginia. They had Kamami Harris out there stumping for the candidate out there for governor. Virginia was major, and they lost Virginia to the Republicans. And at first, they were talking about, boy, the black folks need to come out here and save the Democrats. Oh, they were doing the whole black folks need to save the Democrats. So Jonathan Capehart, this is him. Hold on, let me look at some of these links here. Jonathan Capehart, he was talking about black women have been saving this republic since the founding. That's especially so during Trump era when their turnouts helped Democrats in Alabama and Georgia. Their votes put Biden in the White House, and black turnout will be key for McAuliffe, whatever his name is. They just have to show up. Black people save the republic by saving Virginia. Oh, here they go with that black folks need to come save everybody. Hell no. Here they go with black folks. We're not going to do a damn thing for you. You saved everybody else last time and we didn't do a damn thing for you. So let's do it again, black folks. And black folks said, hell no. Black folks said, we are not going for the okie doke this time. Look at this. Black women voters in Virginia say we won't be taken for granted. Sisters ain't going for that. We have enough sisters out here that's on code. We have enough sisters that's on code, which is great. Too many sisters are on code. Too many of us are on code. And right now they're scrambling. The Democrats are panicking right now. Look at some of this. Democrats should panic. Look at this. Look at the Democrats should panic if voters in key elections do not turn out. Look at how they're reporting this thing. They know what it is. Black folks are getting on code and saying the Democrats can go to hell. We should have been doing this a long time ago. We're not going for the Boule Boogaloo where they don't do a damn thing for us. They just come around us dancing. They don't do diddly squat for black voters. They just come around us shucking and jiving. Look at some of the articles coming out. They know what it is. Black voters in Georgia refuse to be blamed for major Democratic defeat. They know what it is. They know that it was black people who shut that thing down and stopped the Democrats from getting in office. They sat up here, the Democrats sat up here playing this game where they're going to sit here and ignore black people, ignore our tangible needs, and not just ignore us, just hatefully antagonize us with the way they try to elevate all of these other groups. They sat here and incentivized Asians, Hispanics, Afghan immigrants. They sat up here and offered all types of money, protection laws, all types of set-asides and tangibles for these other groups. And the irony is, do y'all know many of these Asian and Hispanics who the Democrats were caping for? They sat up here and voted Republican in many of these places. They were voting for the Republican candidates. They helped get the Republicans in office. You understand? They sat up here trying to blame white women. White women are going to vote in the best interest of white supremacy. White women don't give a damn about no gender issues. They only care about gender issues when they can start getting more of the spoils of white supremacy for themselves. There's no gender coalition with white women and so-called women of color. These people are team white supremacy. So the Democrats, boy, they thought they were going to do the Boole Boogaloo and have us come out voting for them. That's not going to work for us. We need tangibles specifically for foundational black Americans, preferably in the form of reparations. And we mean just that. We're not trying to shuck and jive and dance and hear none of that BS from these people. And black folks are speaking loudly about what the game is going to be about. We're letting them know what it's going to be. And look, black voters refuse to be blamed. I love this headline. You're not going to blame us. You're going to blame your damn selves. You're not going to blame us for losing because you didn't do anything for us to come out and vote for you for. There's no reason for us to support the damn Democrats, as disrespectful as they have been to us. They've done nothing but be disrespectful. They've done nothing but use benign neglect policies against us. They've done nothing but just straight out insult us. It's gone beyond just benign neglect. They send their Boole bootlicks out to sit up and talk about y'all motherfuckers. I know y'all motherfuckers ain't gonna sit up here and let these Hispanic kids get separated from their parents. I know you motherfuckers ain't gonna do that. Remember Roland Martin's homegirl, that chick who's from the K-Hive, one of Kamala Harris's flunkies. That whole thing where they wanna send their Boole flunkies to come out and insult us, that's not working. We're not doing that. That's not going to work for us, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going for the okey-doke. And also, look, what they've been doing, they've been trying to talk around the real issue. They've been talking about why black folks didn't turn out. Let me play some of these clips. Some of these pundits are talking about the low black turnout and all this stuff. They know what it is. Hold on. Let me play this. My sister Teslin put this up. Hold on. See? That black turnout didn't come out like it was supposed to. The black turnout did not come out like it was supposed to. You damn right it didn't come out. And then he had Van Jones. Now remember Van Jones for a long time was telling us we got to sacrifice. Remember when Van Jones was on the Breakfast Club talking about, well, black people, you're going to have to sacrifice and vote for all of these other people and just hope for the best. Oh, Van, we remember, but now Van is kind of talking like us now. Hold on.
I think that the Democrats are coming across in ways that we don't recognize, that are annoying and offensive and seem out of touch in ways that I don't think show up in our feeds when we're looking at our kind of echo chamber. And I think that this is a message here. I think that Democrats are coming across in ways that we don't recognize that are annoying.
Okay, so now Van is trying to state the obvious now. Of course they're coming off in a way that we recognize. They just don't want to do anything for us, and they want us to keep supporting them, and we're not going to play that game. Oh, no. Van, we've been telling you this for the longest. When y'all were caping for these damn Democrats, we've been telling you that these people are using these benign neglects policies against us, but they still want us to come out and support them. And black folks are wising up saying, hey, we're just not going to play that game with you anymore. Stuff like this, while we're sitting up here, remember Clyburn is telling us we got to stop all that. We ain't going to never get no reparation. That ain't going to happen. So you need to just try to go for something else. You know, we can't do all that now. We can't do all that. Now, this is Jim Crow Clyburn talking about giving some tangibles to some of the red-skinned Native Americans. Hold on.
This legislation known as the Catawba Indian Nations Lands Act. The Catawba Indian Nations Lands Act clarifies that the Catawba Indian Nation is subject to the well-established rules and regulations of the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act on their modern and ancestral lands in the state of North Carolina. This legislation will clarify the tribe's 1993 Land Claims Settlement Act and reaffirm recent action taken by the Department of Interior to take land into trust for the tribe. Most importantly, this bipartisan legislation is a very significant step towards rectifying historic injustices that have been perpetrated against the Catawba Indian Nation.
Really?
Like in many other instances of current effects of historical inequities, the Catawba Nation experiences high unemployment and poverty rates, causing many of its citizens to rely upon federal and state governments for basic social service.
Really?
The enactment of this legislation is critical to helping the Catawba Indian Nation secure economic self-sufficiency as Congress originally intended.
Boy, when they talk about other groups, boy, they get right to the point. Boy, they ain't studying nothing. They get right to the economics. Boy, when it's other people, these niggas get right to the economics, economic self-sufficiency. None of that moral stuff. None of that. We're going to take the high road. Oh, we all in this together. Oh, we're going to have to lift everybody. None of that stuff. Boy, when it gets to these other people, Jim Crow Clyburn is talking about economic stability. Boy, they get right to it when it's other people.
They passed the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act of 1988. I respectfully ask my colleagues for a favorable vote on this act, and I yield back the rest of my time.
There you go. There's Jim Crow Clyburn sitting up here caping for some random tribe, Native American, and most of them aren't even real Native Americans, by the way, but that's another story. But the way they sit up here, when it's other groups that's been aggrieved, not even aggrieved to the degree as Foundation of Black Americans, it's all about money. It ain't no long drawn out. It gets right to the point. It's not no long ass Gettysburg address. Well, let's talk about the centuries of inadequacies and the deprivation of resources. If you look at the charts and the research show that black people get a low amount of tangibles as other groups, and they don't get the same opportunities as other people historically, based on the 3.9% rate, they start just babbling when it comes to us. But when it comes to other groups, these people have been aggrieved. we're going to create some economic stability specifically for them. Remember when Jim Bojangles Clyburn, when they asked him about tangibles for black people, I don't want nothing. I don't need nothing. Man, I'm just happy to be here. I don't need nothing. Money, tangibles, I don't need nothing as a black person. We ain't playing this game, guys. This is why y'all losing, and you should continue to lose. Because, see, they think they're going to play this Boule Boogaloo game where they just come around us dancing up there in Buffalo. India Walton, she was running for mayor, and a dude who was a write-in who was a Republican. Didn't he beat her up there? She got smoked by a dude who was a damn write-in, this Democratic candidate up there in Buffalo, New York, India Walton. Now, this was her campaign, people. All right? These were her people campaigning. This is the black campaign outreach right here. This is why her ass lost. All right, that right there. This is why her ass lost right here. She lost bigly up there. That nonsense right there. That's why she lost. Because we ain't going for this dancing, shucking, and jiving nonsense right now. That shit is done. That's done. It's a wrap, man. We got to have tangibles at this point. We ain't playing with folks out here. These folks want to come around dancing. I showed y'all a couple of weeks ago. I showed a clip of them dancing. I said, oh, here they go. They're going to start doing the Boule Boogaloo. They're already practicing their damn dance moves. They're already practicing their dance moves. And then you had Sharpton, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Lord, they had Sharpton somewhere. Oh, boy. They had Sharpton out here dancing at something, some event. Here's y'all boy. Hold on. Let me show y'all Sharpton cutting a damn jig. Hold on. Let me raise this up so y'all can get a good look at Sharpton. Sharpton had to show y'all his super dance moves. Hold on. Uh-oh. 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 Come on, Sharpton. Go Al, 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 go Al. Lord, Lord. This is the black outreach right here. This is the black outreach right here, ladies and gentlemen. That's your black outreach right there. Al Sharpton looking like a diabetic ostrich up here cutting a jig with that 80-year-old head and 13-year-old body getting it in with his Negro dance moves, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we ain't going for this. We ain't going for the Boule Boogaloo. That ain't happening. All of this soft shoe cooning and dancing, we ain't going for that. That's not going to be your damn black outreach. Get this bobblehead nigga back somewhere and come back dancing with my damn check. We need a check. We ain't going for this shit. This nigga gonna fuck around and break his damn hip doing all of this buck dancing. We ain't playing this game. Enough is enough, ladies and gentlemen. But listen. Out there in Virginia, they got the lieutenant governor. They got this lieutenant governor. And she's a black woman, and they've been bragging about her being a black. She's a Republican black woman, and she's a Jamaican immigrant. And boy, she Winsome Sears. And boy, she comes right out the gate mammying and cooning, which I ain't tripping. It is what it is. But this is that lieutenant governor. They got a black lieutenant governor, black female lieutenant governor. And I always tell you, whenever they get black folks for certain positions like this, they always have to get them from the Caribbean or some African shot, from some African spot. They always have to get them from the Caribbean or from somewhere in Africa. They don't want a foundational black American generally to be in a position next to power like this. just in case the white person dies off or whatever, they got to have a non-FBA person right there to pick up the pieces so that they won't get on code and do something for Foundation of Black Americans as a group. So they got Winsome. Boy, they had her on Fox News. And boy, she just right out the gate with her mammying. Hold on. Hold on.
Well, I tell you, the first person who ever really talked about black business equals black power was Richard Nixon. Black business equals black power. Imagine that. All this time it appears that Nixon was a homeboy.
Well, Lord. Okay, this woman said Richard Nixon, who orchestrated the war on black people, who helped orchestrate part of the war on black people and the benign neglect policy against black people. She's talking about he was a damn homeboy. She's talking about he was a damn homeboy. Nixon was nobody's homeboy. But again, putting this mammy up here, this Jamaican mammy, it is what it is. I'm not tripping because we already have a Jamaican mammy in office, Kamala Harris. So at least we got an open mammy. See, we already got two mammies from Jamaica. We got a Kamala Harris, the Democratic mammy, who act like she's down. And then you got this open mammy who is letting you know she ain't doing shit for Foundational Black Americans. I prefer this mammy right here. At least we know what we're getting and not getting. I prefer an open mammy instead of a Kamala Harris. And Kamala Harris has pretty much told us the same thing. She ain't going to do a damn thing for black people. So at least we got, just give me an honest mammy. All right, just give me an honest mammy. We got an honest mammy right here. She's not dancing. No, just she's not dancing with HBCU bands and marching bands. Just give us an honest mammy. That's what we got. So now black folks, when we get an honest mammy, we know what we're dealing with. See, they like to get these type of mammies and prop them up by saying, well, hey, look at this person. This person was an immigrant, and look how they rose to the levels of power. Maybe if y'all Foundation of Black Americans were down to work so hard, I mean, if you were down to work hard too, you can be in the same. That's the whole con game they like to run on us. But let's be very clear. They like to get these immigrant mammies and sambos because they know how cutthroat these niggas are. They know they were cutting each other's throat back in the Caribbean. And let's be clear. These niggas got over here off Democratic policies. And the minute they get over here, a lot of them, including the black immigrants, they start voting Republican. They start sucking up to the Republicans too. They understand they want white power to remain. They have no problem being a flunky and a second fiddle to the white supremacists. They have no problem. The white supremacists, they know they're niggas. That's why a lot of immigrants who come over here, these niggas get over here and be against immigration. Understand, out here in LA, a lot of the Border Patrol agents and all these folks, a lot of them are Hispanic. Don't get it twisted. A lot of these Hispanics get over here, and after a generation, they'll be staunchly against immigration. They're like, hey, let them stay back over there. They'll be like, build a wall! Build a wall! They'll be out there yelling, build the wall too. The minute they get over here and anchor a baby over here and get what they need to get, they'll be out there building the wall to keep their family up out of here. They ain't loyal to each other like that. Don't get it twisted. They're not loyal to each other like that. But yeah, they play that little game with us, though. They go get what they do. They go over there to the Caribbean and they go to Africa and they go get, they screen for Negroes over there. They go get the doctors and the lawyers and the people who have a lot of potential over there. They don't get the riffraffs. They go get the people who got potential, bring them over here and set them down next to the hood rats. And then they compare the doctors and the lawyers from Africa and the Caribbean to the hood rats over here. They got a real bad habit of doing that. They set them right down next to a hood rat and say, hey, look at how much better this person is doing over this hood rat that they done moved them next door to. No. Don't sit here and compare yourself to the least common denominator, the bottom denominator. Now, we're not going to play that game. That's why a lot of the immigrant coon class, they love promoting ratchet culture so that they can compare themselves to ratchet culture to show how better they're doing next to ratchet culture. That's why those Caribbean and African immigrants, they come over here starting World Star Hip Hop, which was started by a Caribbean immigrant. They come over here and start executive producing TV shows like Love and Hip Hop, Ratchet Behavior, Mona Scott Young, who's Haitian. They come over here promoting ratchet behavior with these blogs, Shade Room, all immigrants, Boss Up, all immigrants. They come over here and promote low-level nigga shit to compare themselves to that. You dig? They come over and they bring their so-called best and compare it to our worst to sit up here and say how better they're doing. No, you're not. You come over here and you compare yourself to the lowest denominator. Yeah, don't play that game. But family, the white supremacists, but they're one trick ponies. They've been doing the same thing over and over again. Now we're getting hip to the game now. So now they're trying to scramble. We're getting hip to the con game. We're not falling for the Boule Boogaloo, them getting their Boule minions to shuck and jive and dance around, and we're just supposed to go along with the program. We're not going for that. We're calling out mammies. We're calling out the bootlicks now. Did y'all see Omarosa? Omarosa's trying to get in where she fit in. Omarosa, hold on. This is Omarosa. Omarosa reveals that Trump was fascinated with looking at KKK garb at a Mississippi Civil Rights Museum. So Omarosa, she's still trying to get in where she fit in. She did all that mammying, and then they locked the doors on her ass. So now she's trying to act like the spook who sat behind the door. She's still trying to get in back. She's trying to get back into the good graces of black folks now because white people have completely turned on her. All that mammying she done for nothing. All that ass kissing. Now white people completely turned on her, so now she's trying to wiggle herself back into black society. Hey, Trump was racist, y'all. She had no problem with Trump's racism. Only when they locked the doors. They literally had to change the locks on the White House doors for her ass. And now she wants to scream how racist they are. Just like Stacey Dash. Stacey Dash tried to play the mammy game. They turned on her. So now, I was on drugs, y'all. I was on Oxycontin, y'all. I was on the narcotic. I was a Negro. No. We're not playing that game. Y'all better get on Team Empowerment or get your ass out the way. We're not playing with coons and mammies out here. We are not playing that game, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of coons, boy, people have been going in on Stephen A. Smith and all of these other people because y'all know how they were going in on Kyrie Irving because he didn't want to take the vaccine. He didn't want to take the shot. Let me watch my words here because they get real funny style. So they were acting like Kyrie was the second coming of Satan. Boy, they were just so mad at Kyrie Irving. They were pissed off at him. Oh, how selfish he was for not taking the shot. Now it has come out that Aaron Rodgers, who does Aaron Rodgers play for? He played for, who does he play for? Where are my people in the chat room? Who does Aaron Rodgers, a white man? Aaron Rodgers, he said that he was vaccinated. This is Aaron Rodgers right here saying that he was vaccinated. Hold on. He tried to word it a certain way. Hold on. This is Aaron Rodgers a couple of months ago.
Are you vaccinated? What's your stance on vaccinations?
Yeah, I've been immunized.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm immunized. Yeah, he said, yeah, Green Bay Packers. Okay, thank you, family. So Aaron Rodgers sat up here and lied and said that he was immunized after they asked him. He sat here and lied, and then it came out that he got COVID. He actually did not get vaccinated. His ass lied, and now he tested positive for COVID. And now Where's all that energy? You don't have all that energy for him now. You don't have all that energy for white daddy. He lied about being vaccinated and being a team player. So boy, y'all were all in on our brother Kyrie. Boy, y'all were just whipping him publicly. Boy, y'all gave him a public lynching. Where's all this energy for white daddy now? White daddy just straight up lied. Oh, white daddy. Oh, somebody said he didn't lie. Oh, so the way he worded it. So he tried to word it a certain way. Yeah, I'm immunized. Yeah, he tried to word it a certain way to give the impression that he had a shot or something. But he didn't. And he's going out here putting everybody in jeopardy, and people don't have the same energy for white daddy. They don't have the same energy for him. And people were calling out Stephen A. Smith. Boy, Stephen A. Smith was going in on Kyrie Irving. But you know Stephen. Stephen, he's a Caribbean coon. Y'all know how Stephen does. Jay Williams called Stephen A. Smith out. Yeah, lying by omission. Yeah, they don't have the same energy for him. But that is what it is. We know how they get down. When it comes to the white supremacists, boy, they look out for each other. When it comes to the dominant society, they know how to get on code with each other. Speaking of on code, look at how the white media is talking about the people who were in the January 6th riots. One lady just got a 60-day jail sentence. I mean, they're giving these people such slaps on the wrist. But look at how they word the people who participated in that insurrection. These people tried to overthrow the government. And they're referring to them as at least 7 January 6th rally goers won public office on election day. Rally goers. Look at the words. These people were up there fighting. People died, people were killed, and they're calling these people rally goers. This is them staying on code with each other, ladies and gentlemen. These people stay on code with each other, majorly. That's why we got to stay on code with each other. Family, let me get some calls from you guys. Let me take a couple of calls before we get out of here. Hit the thumbs up button, hit the like button. The phone number is 818-850-5404, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see if we can make this phone line work. Hopefully it ain't gonna sound crazy. But the phone number is 818-850-5404. Let's get some calls up in here. Let's see if we can make this thing do what it do. Let me get some calls from the family and see what's on your mind, ladies and gentlemen. 818-850-5404. Let's see. All right, let's see. I think the calls are going to be working smooth. Hello, who's calling?
Yo, this is G from the D.
G from the D. How you doing, fam?
What up, man? What up, FBA? I just want to say, man, in Detroit, they voted for a white mayor again, man. And we got a neighboring city in Dearborn where it's majority rap, and they voted for an Arab mayor. So I'm like, damn, if the majority of America was black, like, will we still vote for a white mayor still, you know, by the model based on Detroit?
Man, I don't know what's going on in Detroit, man. I do not know what's going on. I know when our brother Claude Anderson, they tried to get like a black street, a black area up there, and it was the black political people up there working against it. So I don't know what's going on with our brothers and sisters in Detroit. But thanks for the call, fam. Let me get some. God damn. Lord, loud ass thing. All right, what's up? Who's calling?
Queenie.
Hey, Queenie, how are you, dear? Where are you calling from?
Chicago.
All right, what's on your mind, Queenie?
I was going to say about the Aaron Rodgers thing. They not all up in his face because when Kyrie Irving, you know, decided not to get vaccinated, black people was all in his face. The white people ain't gonna be up in Aaron Rodgers' face.
Exactly.
Like black people get in other black people's face.
Yes. Exactly. Black people try to show out for white people and try to check other folks, which is very off code. Black folks got to cut that nonsense out, because you don't see no white people out here calling out Aaron at all. They're not really talking greasy about this dude. So that's a very good point, sister. But thank you so much, Queenie. Let's see who else we got here. Mm-hmm. All right. A lot of folks calling in. All right. What's up? Who's calling? Hey.
Show out.
Hello, it's Desmond Works from Louisville.
What's your name, brother?
Desmond Works. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky.
Desmond, how old are you, brother? You sound very young.
I'm 33.
33?
Yep.
Damn, brother, you sound hella damn young, man. You like one of them Emmanuel Lewis niggas? You like real little or something? How you sound like a damn kid, man?
Yeah, I'm 5'4".
Oh, okay.
I'm little.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah, and my grandfather was in the group, the New Birth. He used to be a bass player, I think, in the group New Birth.
New Birth, okay, yeah.
So I got a little, the New Birth. So I was calling because you hear about OSHA's new mandate today with the little job thing, but what they're about to do in January.
Well, what are they about to do?
They about to about January 4th. If you ain't got that, you know what? They're gonna try to you can get tested every week, and then by the 5th. By 5th of December, they're going to start wearing the mask again in the workplace. Then they have OSHA come over and make sure everybody's doing their job and stuff. And if not, you're going to be fined. Jobs with 100,000 people or more are going to be fined.
Shit, man. So, now, what city is this?
No, it's OSHA. You know, the work OSHA people, they made it a mandate.
OSHA.
For all the workers.
OSHA.
Yeah.
Now, what's OSHA? What's OSHA? Yeah. OSHA, you got to explain what OSHA. What's OSHA?
OSHA is like they safety over all the workplaces.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it. I see what you're saying. Okay, yeah, it's heavy out here, man. But thank you for the call. Okay, the brother was kind of
okay. Thank you.
All right, bye. Brother. Well, let me get some more calls here. All right, what's up? Who's calling? Uh-oh, hold on. Let me see what's going on. Hello, who's calling? Okay, goddamn. All right, let's try it again. Yo, who's calling?
This is Caution of 2RS. I'm out of Oklahoma.
Out of Oklahoma. What's on your mind, brother?
I had a question for you.
Go ahead.
I seen that you did something on Facebook where you gave props to Elijah Muhammad.
Yeah. Yes.
And I wonder why is the community, as far as like the conscious community, the woke community or whatever, why don't we give props to this man for what he gave us?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people give props to Minister Farrakhan, rightfully so. And a lot of people, a lot of us, we get our history, to be honest, a lot of folks get their history from white society. In white society, they don't like talking about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who was one of the most thorough black leaders that we've had over here. And that's why in our museum, we're going to have a special thing in there for Elijah Muhammad. People really sleep on Elijah Muhammad. No other person has had an organization to survive and be successful as long as Elijah Muhammad in black society. People really sleep on the accomplishments and the achievements of Elijah Muhammad. And
if you look at the world today, what we live in, he was speaking for this time.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
If you read some of his books and his messages, he was really on it.
Yes, he was.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. But thank you for the call, brother. But yeah, my man makes a very good point about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, man. Elijah Muhammad, man, people really sleep on that brother. This brother owned all types of farmland, all types of businesses. This brother had some of the members militarized. I mean, the brother had the organization together. The way he ran the organization was amazing. And the influence of Elijah Muhammad, we have to understand how many people who are influenced by Elijah Muhammad, and that influence is still alive today. Muhammad Ali was influenced by Elijah Muhammad. He was mandated, really, brought in by Elijah Muhammad. Given the name Malcolm X by Elijah Muhammad. I mean, not Malcolm, but Muhammad Ali. I'm sorry, mixing my people up. He was given the name Muhammad Ali by Elijah Muhammad. Malcolm X was given the name Malcolm X by Elijah Muhammad. And that energy still permeates today. You know, we know our good brother, Minister Farrakhan, and Elijah Muhammad's influence on him. Shahrazad Ali, the influence of Elijah Muhammad. Also with Clarence 13X, my brothers who are the 5%ers, the 5% nation, that came from Elijah Muhammad's influence on Clarence 13X, and Clarence 13X did his thing and then created the 5% nation. So many people were influenced by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Very thorough brother. Let me get some more calls here. See, we got some calls down in Georgia. What's up, who's calling? Hold on, let me get this, hold on. Yo, what's up, who's calling?
All right, what's going on?
What's up, brother, what's your name?
Oh man, it's King Messiah.
King Messiah, where you calling from, sir?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
All right, what's on your mind?
Brother, I first want to apologize. I ain't going to change the topic, but I came at you hard when you went at the Grandmaster Jay. I do think that you are one of the greatest black organizers of the 21st century, so I want to salute you.
Yes.
And pretty much, man, it's an honor to talk to you. I want to do a hospital like how you did the museum, so yeah. You're inspiring me, and I'm going to reach out. But I just wanted to say for the record, man, you are straight for the 21st century. You are one of the greatest black organizers, and I mean, we salute you down here in Atlanta.
Much respect. Now, you were upset that I went after Grandmaster Jay, right?
Yeah, I was in my feelings, man. You know how it is.
Now, so
I thought you came out of, you know. Go ahead.
Okay, so now you see what's going on with that dude. Now, do you see? now, do you see what's going on?
I mean,
come on, let's keep it a buck.
It is looking weird. He's fighting a state case and a federal case, so it is some things going on. But I just want to say, it is looking weird. You know, it is looking weird.
Exactly. There you go. Exactly.
I will say that. But
very much
I want to
so.
Say for the record, man, you're straight. You're inspiration, and people need to follow your lead. You have set the standard for the black community on how to manifest whatever it is we need to manifest. You set the standard already. So honor to you for that. The museum, the 30-day goal, how you execute your projects. I mean, I'm just a fan. You know what I'm saying? But I'm inspired, and I want to follow in your footsteps and do exactly how you're doing it. So I ain't a hater. I'm a supporter. Much love. Keep on being great, brother.
Much respect, fam. So at least my man could he admitted when he was wrong. He didn't want to. Listen, when I told people about Scam Master Jay, dude, I wasn't coming at it on no hate shit, because that wasn't a person. He didn't have anything to hate on. My thing, I'm all about the safety of the community. My thing is, I want the community to be safe. And when I see some shit where my street senses start tingling, I saw some stuff going on with Grandmaster Jay early on. And I said, man, I can't sit here and, because people keep asking me about dude and all that, and I'm not going to sit up here and co-sign this guy. And I see some funny shit going on with this dude, and I don't want people walking into a damn ambush with this guy. You walking with this guy and you're going to walk right into a trap. So I just started pointing out obvious shit about this dude. Like, hey, man, look. Here's some stuff that y'all might not have known about this guy. Hey, man, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at some of this old footage of this dude. Man, this dude, this ain't it right here, man. Look, I know that we wanna do something about injustice. I know we want to get out here and make some noise. I know that, but we don't want to walk into a damn ambush or a damn trap. We don't have time to walk into no goddamn traps out here. So we got to start looking at people very closely and look at what their intentions are. And this dude, man, I told people how funny style this dude was. Just on some behind, I saw a lot of stuff behind the scenes about dude. That's all like, oh, whoa, no, wait, this ain't, this dude is funny style. This dude paperwork look real funny. I was the one who exposed that footage of him doing security for Trump. This dude is working with Secret Service. I'm telling you, I'm not making this up. I'm showing you what this nigga's out here doing security for the damn government. And even the people a part of that organization, the guy, Brother Ozone, who got caught by the race soldiers, even his folks are saying that the Grandmaster J's folks turned them in. That's what that whole organization was about. They needed to get everybody's information so that when a brother who was a real one went out here in the streets and started doing some real shit to protect themselves, when brothers and sisters wanted to really put in some work and really defend themselves from race soldier violence, that organization would be able to provide all the information where all their relatives and friends and associates were so that they can catch niggas. Come on, man. We have to start thinking like chess players, man. We have to start thinking like chess players, and we have to see what these white supremacists are doing. And when they wheel niggas out in front of us, what the real agenda is. They'll bring some niggas out here to talk tough and be like, yeah, we ain't fucking around, motherfucker. Yeah, you better join us because we ain't playing. And when you join us, give me your serial number of your guns and give me your ID. That's what Grandmaster J and those dudes were doing. They were getting people's ID and their serial number for their weapons. I'm like, are y'all, nigga, are y'all serious? Come on, man, don't walk into no shit like this. Come on. Yeah? Come on. Wait, somebody said, we got somebody in the chat room talking about Muhammad Ali getting us, not, I keep saying Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X being assassinated. We know the government was behind that shit now. Let's stop it. We know the government was behind that. We know that. We know that Malcolm X had all of them damn undercover cops around him doing security. Let's stop the bullshit. Don't sit up and try to blame Elijah Muhammad and all that. We know it's the cops have basically come out and admitted that, hey, yeah, we were all around Malcolm. Yeah, we had a whole task force where we were doing security for Malcolm. Oh, yeah. They done came out and said that they were infiltrating Malcolm's inner circle. The police have admitted it, dude. Come on now. Let's just stop it. Let's just stop that, dude. These folks were infiltrated. Let me get one more call here. Should I get one more call, guys? Let me try one more call here. What's up? Who's calling?
It's Marlon from Baltimore.
Marlo or Marlon?
No, Marlo. L-O.
Marlo. How you doing, Marlo?
I'm good. I'm a long fan. I have all your hidden colors. I'm 23. I just had a quick question. That's it.
Go ahead, brother.
I have an idea. It's kind of like a comic manga type of thing about black empowerment. I was trying to do like a Japanese style, like a Ninja Turtle type of thing with four sons, and you know the father's like a god of war and a long heritage and stuff like that. I was just seeing if like that's a good thing to put out.
I don't know too much about that industry, but I do know that it's a big industry. So yeah, if you can do good work, there's always going to be a market for or an audience for your work. And I know that anime stuff and all that, that's a real big, huge audience for. I'm not into it, so I don't really know the ins and outs of it. But if that's what you do and that, if that's something that you're passionate about, by all means, go for that. Let me tell you something, family. We can make anything you're passionate about, you can make it pop off. You can create an audience for something. Listen to me, family. Listen. You can create an audience for anything you wish to create an audience for, as long as you're passionate about it. Listen, when we started doing the Hidden Color series, there were no black history documentaries out like that that were doing big numbers. When we started doing Hidden Colors, there were no black history documentaries that was telling the real truth about our history. There was not a market for it yet because, one, white people weren't putting it out, and too many black people wait on white people to do shit. Let's keep it a buck. And the black people with the means, they weren't going to put no shit like that out because that was going to scare the white people who paid them. So black people, for the most part, were not going to put out no black empowerment documentaries. Black people who have the means from the dominant society, black people who are in the Hollywood circles or in the athletic circles, many of them were going, they were not going to do anything like that because, again, they don't want to offend their paymasters. We had to do that on the grassroots. We created a market, guys. We created a market. We knew that there was a need for something like that. And if you present something and you present it and you make it fly, you give people something that they can't refuse. You got to make it so tight. You got to make it so fly. They cannot refuse it. And we put that thing out and it took over. It created a whole movement. The whole woke movement came out of the Hidden Colors movement. Let's be very clear. And just like with buck breaking, the fact that there's a pushback against this damn agenda, all of that came from buck breaking too. That's why, again, we want to take this thing to the next level. We're talking about getting this streaming platform so we can just get these things going on a regular basis. We got to have our own streaming platform so that we can bring you this type of information on a regular basis. Just year round, we don't have to wait a couple of years to do these projects. We'll have our own streaming platforms that will generate the capital so that we can have these things popping off for you on a regular basis. That is going to be a game changer, ladies and gentlemen. Putting together quality projects. People want me to put together all types of projects for them because they know when we get our hands on it, we're going to make that thing pop all the way the hell off. So we're going to get this streaming platform, and I'm real passionate about doing this. We're going to get our own streaming platform so that we'll have all of our projects that's already done. We'll have them on there. And then we get all of our new projects so that we don't have to cut them and edit them down and shorten them up so we can have whole series and mini series of this information. We can do anything that we wish to do. We have the means, we have the wherewithal. We just have to go out here and execute this stuff, and that's what we're going to start doing. And I'm glad to be an inspiration to some of these brothers and sisters who see how we get down. We just got to keep this momentum going. And speaking of the museum, we still need your help with the museum. We're still trying to get the pieces together out here. There's another location that we're trying to get in another area outside of Crenshaw. We still need the family to contribute to the Hidden History Museum website. We still need you to get down with that because we're still trying to attain the property out here in Los Angeles. We got $1 million of the seed money. We still need more so that we can get the property. We're working on that now, but we still need the family's help. You can still contribute. Go to HiddenHistoryMuseum.com so we can get this thing going. Ladies and gentlemen, we still need the family's help on this thing. We still need your input. So please contribute to that. And we'll keep everybody posted with what's going on with that. But we're still working on that very hard right now. All my Atlanta people, we're going to be in Atlanta. I'll probably be out there next week because we're going to be doing some filming for this new project. So we're doing work, man. We got a lot of work we're doing, and I'm passionate about it. It's fun doing these empowerment works, man. This is fun. We got to make our empowerment fun. I enjoy it. I'm passionate about it. That was my goal, making us look at our empowerment as something to look forward to. See, we got this thing where for a long time, us doing something empowering for other black people, it's like a task. It's all tedious. Man, oh, I don't feel like going, man, I don't feel like reading this book. Lord, I got to read this. I just want to go. No, we're making our empowerment something enjoyable to attain. You understand? We're making it something enjoyable, which is good. We should enjoy empowering each other. But like I said, I'm going to be down there in Atlanta. And also, I need to holler at some casting directors down there because we're going to probably have to shoot a lot of our reenactment scenes down in Atlanta because out here, those mandates, man, out here in LA, in California, man, you can't even go in certain stores without a vaccination card now, man. yeah, I was going to go to the Apple store. I had to have them send me my computer. I had a screen put on my computer. They had to mail it to me because out here at the Apple store, you can't even go in the Apple store without a damn vaccination card now. So it's real out here. And as far as filming, oh my God, filming out here, if you're going to go through the city with the filming, they're going to try to make sure everybody got to be vaccinated. And then you got, man, we're going to just film down in Georgia, dude. We're just going to have to film down there. Yeah, we're going to have to get it popping down there. And it'll be best to film down there anyway. So my Georgia people, man, y'all holler at me, man. Get in on this film. Get y'all acting debut on. You know? We get some of my Atlanta people who can act. Because we're going to be doing some reenactment scenes. And we need some folks who are thorough. And I know they do a lot of filming down there. And I know some of y'all actors are down there. And we might have to have y'all audition for stuff. But look, we need y'all to be thorough. We don't want y'all to be out there on some shit where, hold on. I'd be like, okay, we're doing the auditions and your ass be on some shit like this. Hold on.
I ain't be got no weapon. Why you be gotta pull a knife on me? I be shot.
I ain't be got no weapon. Anyway, man, let me get up out of here, man. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Again, go to HiddenHistoryMuseum.com. Contribute to the museum because we still need the family's help on that. Hidden History Museum, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Go to BuckBreakingMovie.com. Ladies and gentlemen, and I will holler at you this Sunday.